Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You are now listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. 94.5 FM. I am your host, Al Martin. We've got a great show in store for you all out there on this December 18th. Can you believe that? Christmas, literally, just days away now. 7 days away. Happy holidays to you and yours. What a weekend it was. So much taking place in the world of local sports and beyond. And how about Saturday, right? For all of the MSU men's basketball fans out there, you got to see an absolute old-fashioned back-in-the-backyard dogfight between the Michigan State Spartans and, of course, the Oakland University Golden Grizzlies. Greg Campy, if you look at recent history when it comes to the in-state Spartans and Grizzlies hoops rivalry on the hardwood, I mean, Campy has just been able to put together some very competitive squads that have almost scared Tom Izzo. And it was a back-and-forth battle on Saturday. We will recap what happened at Little Caesars Arena between Tom Izzo and Greg Campy's teams. I'm excited to dive into that conversation. And I really want to have a chat as it concerns star player Miles Bridges, who hasn't been putting up lights out numbers for the Spartans. As many of you know, he was a National Player of the Year candidate on the lips of many preseason publications. However, Bridges has been a bit, I'm going to say this, he's been a bit lost in the sauce, if you ask me. I'll explain what exactly that means in just a moment. But also, of course, the University of Michigan men's basketball team was also in action in that Hitachi basketball showcase at Little Caesars Arena, downtown Detroit. So we'll talk some Spartan and Wolverines hoops. Of course, the Michigan State men's basketball team will be back in action, get this, tonight at 6 p.m. inside of the Breslin Center. It will actually be a back-to-back doubleheader with the Michigan State women and the men. We'll also talk about the NFL weekend that was your Detroit Lions getting a win on Saturday evening. So what does this mean now for the Lions moving forward as we have, what, just 2 weeks left in the NFL regular season? What are the chances that the Lions, that the Honolulu Blue, one pride, can possibly make the Big Dance at least a wild card appearance? We'll break that down for you. And speaking of the NFL, I'm excited to have this brother on the show because we have not heard his voice in quite some time. He's a dear friend of the show. Used to actually do a motivational segment with us back in the Dizzy here on our airwaves. His name is DeAndre Carter. He's a motivational speaker, author. He's quite the presence here in mid-Michigan. And also, he's a diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan. So, as you can imagine, I'm going to get DC's thoughts on the Wild Steelers and New England Patriots game yesterday. That was a fun game to watch. That was really a fun game to watch. And we'll also talk about big news coming from the worldwide leader, ESPN. That and more, multiple ways in which you can be a part of the show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number to call if you want to weigh in on anything that we have planned for you all, or just anything on your sports noggin for that matter. Usually, we have our Facebook.com current sports live stream up and running, but, technology. Gotta love it, right? Right now, my phone died, and it's charging right now. It should be up in just a moment, okay? I should have charged it this morning, but was busy with other things, including prepping for the show. So we'll have our live stream up and running in just a moment. But again, you can call in and you can join us also in another social media avenue via Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. That is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at the show's official Twitter handle of at WKAR. _ sports. So as you see, our plate runneth over. Let's keep this train a pushing. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. And we start with the Michigan State men's basketball team, which will return back to the Breslin Center tonight, hosting Houston Baptist University. Tip-off is slated for 6 p.m., and we'll actually be giving away a pair of tickets to that game tonight. Keep it locked to find out how you can win those tickets. Michigan State is ranked number 2 in the country by the Associated Press. The new rankings actually were revealed today. We'll have a look at the entire top 25 in just a moment. But Michigan State ranked number 2 in the latest batch of AP top 25 rankings. And will enter this game with a 10-1 overall record following an 86-73 win over Oakland on Saturday at Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. It was the 9th straight win for the Spartans. 5 players scored in double figures. Sophomore guard Cassius Winston scored all 19 of his points in the second half. He had a donut when halftime hit for Michigan State on Saturday. That's amazing, right? Sophomore guard Joshua Langford finished with 17 points, 3 assists. Sophomore forward Nick Ward registered his second double-double of the season with 15 points and a season-high 15 rebounds. And again, in just a moment, we're going to have an extended combo concerning the Michigan State men's basketball team as we preview tonight's Houston Baptist game. And I'm going to really ask a question. Again, is Miles Bridges lost in the sauce? Again, I'll explain what that means in just a moment. But I really want to talk about Miles Bridges as far as his production is concerned as we roll along the Michigan State men's basketball year. Also, the Michigan State women's basketball team will return to the Breslin for its final home non-conference game of the season, taking on Quinnipiac on tonight at 9 p.m. So it'll be a doubleheader. So after the men are done, that's when Susie Merchant squad will trot out for a 9 p.m. tip time. The game is the second half of a doubleheader with the Spartans men's team. This is the 4th of 5 doubleheaders this season for Michigan State. MSU will then conclude the non-conference season at the New Orleans Shootout against the number 22 and number 20 South Florida and Mississippi Valley State basketball teams on December 21st and December 22nd. So you can catch the Michigan State women's basketball team in action right after the men are done. All right. Speaking of the MSU men's basketball team, I wanted to note this story as well. Michigan State men's basketball coach Tom Izzo, he used Saturday's return to the Motor City as a chance to visit his former point guard Keith Appling in Wayne County Jail. Izzo went on to say, quote, "It was good to see him." And then he goes on to say, "I think he has a whole different perspective now," end quote. So Izzo made the visit at 7 a.m. before Michigan State took on Oakland on Saturday afternoon. Keith Appling, who played at Michigan State from 2010 to 2014, is currently serving a year in Wayne County Jail for carrying a concealed weapon and attempted resisting and obstructing a police officer. He was arrested 3 times on gun charges in a 4-month period back in 2016, though 2 of them were dismissed as a part of his plea agreement. All of those incidents came after Appling made his NBA debut on a to a 10-day contract stint with the Orlando Magic back in January of last year. The 6'1" guard was also a D-League All-Star that year, played really well, and I really thought Appling was going to make a solidified roster spot somewhere, if not the Orlando Magic, because he was playing so well. But, oh boy, got to make the right decisions, right? All right, John Teske made his first career start for the University of Michigan men's basketball team against the University of Detroit Mercy on Saturday and scored a career-high 15 points, added 10 boards in place of injured junior forward Moritz Wagner. The Titans turned the ball over 15 times in the first half and 22 times overall. The Titans missed 12 of 14 shots on two-point tries in the first half, though. The Wolverines led by 33 at halftime and went on to absolute rout Detroit Mercy 90-58 in the first game of the Hitachi College Basketball Showcase at LCA on Saturday afternoon. And speaking of Detroit Mercy men's basketball coach Bakari Alexander, he declined to comment on the specifics of a published report alleging he verbally abused and made an obscene gesture toward one of his players last month. Alexander recently served an indefinite suspension that ended up stretching 7 games in nearly a month before he returned to practice on December 5th and then coaching a game against Toledo on December 6th. The university has referred to the suspension as a personal matter. Alexander has denied that he was in fact suspended and has said he never feared losing his job. So some drama there when it comes to Bakari Alexander. Matthew Stafford threw two touchdown passes and avoided mistakes, allowing the Detroit Lions to stay in playoff contention with a 20-10 victory over the Chicago Bears on Saturday night. Detroit, sitting at 8-6 overall, has won 2 straight games and needs to close the regular season with 2 more wins to keep its postseason hopes alive. The Bears, just a really bad season for them. The Bears sit at 4-10 now. They have lost 6 of 7, sealing a third season with double-digit losses in 3 years under embattled coach John Fox. More on the Lions later on this hour. Carolina Panthers owner Jerry Richardson, amid allegations of workplace misconduct, announced yesterday in a letter to the team website that he plans to put the NFL team he founded up for sale after this season. The letter came after Sports Illustrated published a story reporting the Panthers settled with at least 4 former employees regarding inappropriate workplace behavior by Jerry Richardson. And with the announcement of this, it seems as though there are some pretty big names that are possibly going to throw in their hats to become a majority owner of the Carolina Panthers. Those include former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick, as well as media mogul P. Diddy. I kid you not. P. Diddy wants a piece of the Carolina Panthers pie. Interesting stuff there. Reggie Bullock scored a career-high 20 points and grabbed 5 boards, helping the Detroit Pistons hold off a late rally by the Orlando Magic in Sunday's 114-110 win at Little Caesars Arena. The 5th-year small forward out of North Carolina. He went 8 of 10 from the field, including 4 of 6 from the 3-point range. In 31 minutes of play, he scored 9 in the third as the Pistons built their lead to 22. The Pistons currently sit now at 17-13 overall. The Pistons are 3-1 since placing Bullock in the starting lineup, including Sunday's win. Again, 3 straight for the red, white, and royal blue. And John Skipper has resigned as president of ESPN and co-chairman of the Disney Media Network. So on Monday, George Bodenheimer, ESPN's president from 1998 to 2011, and its executive chairman was executive chairman since May 2014 and will take over as acting chairman of the company for the next 90 days to help Disney chairman and chief exec officer Bob Iger find Skipper's replacement. Skipper joined ESPN back in 1997 as a senior VP and GM of ESPN the magazine. He was named to his current job on January 1st, back in 2012. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Let's start the show.
Nick Ward saved us early. I think Kenny and Tom saved us late. And Cassius had an unbelievable second half. We looked a little tired. We were in a little bit of foul trouble, as they were too, and found a way to win the game. So that's all that matters. But the deal of the day for me would be to see that place so filled with a lot of green and white. I just want to thank everybody at this place, and I want to thank the treatment, and I want to thank our fans down here in Detroit.
Ah, yes, happy holidays to all of our listeners out there. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Really hope you guys had a great weekend. I know I surely did. Finally, got a chance to get a bit of Christmas shopping in. Got some stuff for the folks. But still got some more shopping to do. You guys know I'm very last minute with it. But it was a fun weekend. A fun weekend in the world of sports. Certainly a busy one. So if you weren't out and about this past weekend, I'm sure you were glued to your television checking out the multiple games that took place over the weekend that pertained to, of course, Michigan State University. And how about the Detroit Lions on Saturday? And then on Sunday, it was a very entertaining slate of NFL football, wasn't it? Oh, my goodness. You guys know I'm a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan, so I was on the edge of my seat. I'm pretty sure I woke up a lot of people with my yelling and stomping and anger as I watched the Cowboys barely squeak out a win over the reeling Oakland Raiders. And a lot of drama in that game. You know, the whole index card. Was it a first down? Was it not a first down? And a lot of drama. Jordan Lewis had a huge pass interference call in crunch time. Jordan Lewis, former defensive player for the University of Michigan, now a Dallas Cowboy. He really messed up. And I was losing my mind on that play. And somehow, some way, the Cowboys are able to pull out that game. Derek Carr on the final offensive possession for the Raiders. He tries stretching out, and he fumbles it, and it's a touchback. Boy, I wiped my brow and said, okay, we are still in the hunt for a wild card position. And later on this hour, we're going to get to, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers and New England Patriots NFL game. How entertaining was that? That was such a fun game to watch from start to finish. And I will say this. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they had the Patriots on the ropes. They really did. They played better than the New England Patriots through 90% of that game. But in the last 5 minutes, mentally, Pittsburgh just went somewhere else. And then Tom Brady just made the right decisions and got the ball to who is arguably the most dangerous weapon, offensive weapon, in the world of the National Football League and Gronkowski. Gronk. Rob Gronkowski, I mean, my goodness, is he good or what? Just an absolute man. When he gets the football, watch out, because special things happen. And the Steelers had no answer for Rob Gronkowski. And the defensive scheme to try and slow him down, there was none. Multiple times he was single covered in that game. I just didn't understand what the Steelers were trying to do when it came to their defense in that moment, in crunch time, under 5 minutes left. And then Coach Tomlin, I thought he was very conservative, way too conservative on that possession with about 6 minutes left. If you get two first downs, you really have the Patriots praying that they get the football back. Nonetheless, Tom Brady and the Patriots, a team you never want to bet against. They somehow, some way pull out a win. So, again, later on this hour, we'll be talking with DeAndre Carter, motivational speaker, author, and diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan. But I also want to address what you heard before that TLC, Merry Christmas Groove. Of course, that was the voice of Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, just moments after his Spartans pulled out a win, a very close win against, of course, Oakland University. Really, really close win. I mean, this one went back and forth, so entertaining. That was just a fun game to watch, wasn't it? But too close for comfort. Too close for comfort for Tom Izzo's team as sophomore guard Cassius Winston really put on a show, scoring all of his 19 points in the second half. Michigan State used a 12-2 run late to pull away for an 86-73 win at Little Caesars Arena. And as I mentioned, the new AP Top 25 poll has come out, and this is how it reads. Sitting atop at number one, you got the Villanova Wildcats. Number two, your Michigan State Spartans. Number three, Arizona State. Four, Duke. Five, North Carolina. Six, Miami. Seven, Kentucky. Eight, Texas A&M. Nine, Xavier. 10, West Virginia. I won't go from 11 to 25, but that's how your top 10 looks right now. Again, Michigan State still holding down that number two overall spot. And how about Arizona State? I really couldn't name one player on that Arizona State roster, yet this team has had some pretty big victories. Pretty big victories, and I think they deserve to be in the top five. Very impressive stuff. So Michigan State sitting at number two. And when you look at that game on Saturday afternoon, it was so interesting when it comes to multiple areas. First off, that's the most packed I've seen. Little Caesars Arena. More packed than any Pistons game I've viewed on television or Detroit Red Wings game at that. I believe it was the first sellout in Little Caesars Arena history, and it's very preliminary history here, right? I mean, we're still in the infant stages of this arena, of course, but the Pistons can't draw a big crowd. Not many people are coming out for the Red Wings games either. Again, if you build it, people will come. I truly believe that if the Wings and the Pistons start to win games here, people will come out and check out this team. I mean, heck, when the Pistons were out in Auburn Hills during the glory years, you know, during like the early 2000s period when they were consistently going to the Eastern Conference Finals and winning Central Division championships. And, of course, they won the NBA Finals back in 2004. People were coming out to the Palace of Auburn Hills, coming out in droves to check out a really good basketball team. So success will breed attention and people will buy tickets to check out either one of those squads. But this by far was the biggest crowd that we've seen at Little Caesars Arena. You had Michigan fans there. You had Michigan State fans there. You had fans from Oakland University there. You had fans from U of D Mercy there. Really nice local slate of basketball, college basketball on display. As I mentioned, U of M made it look just easy peasy, lemon squeezy against Mercy. Again, leading by 30-plus points at halftime. That was a snoozer, just a snooze fest in that game. But then, of course, the main course was Michigan State and OU. But Cassius Winston, you know, he's a player that's so intriguing to me. You know, much has been made of. I've made a lot of his newly found three-point shot, especially that transition three. We didn't see that, though, in the first half. Michigan State got off to a really slow start in this game. Not any really breakout offensive performances other than Josh Langford and Nick Ward in that first half. They held down the fort and kept Michigan State competitive. And also, you got to give credit to that Michigan State defense, which at one point in that game had OU shooting something crazy like 31% from the floor. And overall, Michigan State's defense is one of the best, if not the best, in the nation. I mean, they are routinely holding teams to about 33% shooting from the floor. But you know what kept Oakland University in this game? Again, I'm not breaking news in saying this. Those who watched the game were probably awed by this man's play. Kendrick Nunn was absolutely fantastic in this ball game. And you know, it's funny because Greg Campy before the game said, look, I believe that Kendrick Nunn is a lottery pick in this year's upcoming NBA draft. And I said, lottery pick? Are you kidding me? Kendrick Nunn? I saw the brother before he transferred. Now, I always thought he was a solid talent. Solid talent, but when I watched him at Illinois, my jaw wasn't on the floor watching him saying, oh my goodness, I mean, this kid is going to be something special. Really didn't say that when watching him there. But man, oh man, I was wrong. I mean, watching Kendrick Nunn score the basketball on Saturday, it was remarkable. I mean, he was coming off screens, hitting down the mid-range jumper. He was taking guys off the dribble, going to the lane. Hitting threes with a hand in his face. I mean, he gave Matt McQuaid the business in that game. But I do believe worth noting, and as you heard Tom Izzo say in that introduction, you know, Tom gave a lot of credit to Lou Ross, Tum Tum Nairn Jr., as he customarily does. I mean, Tum Tum is the heart and soul of this team. He is the engine of this Michigan State men's basketball team. You may not see Tom light up the scoreboard. Let's be real. He's not going to do that. He's just not that type of player. He had 2 points, for goodness sake, on Saturday. 1 of 2 from the floor. Played 21 minutes, though, and he had some key minutes in that game where Matt McQuaid, they made a switch. Tom Izzo said, all right, Matt, you're done guarding Kendrick Nunn. And you know what happened? Tom actually put Lou Ross, Tum Tum Nairn Jr. on Kendrick Nunn. And watching that game closely, Nunn began to slow down just enough for Michigan State to start to slowly put together a nice run. Because once that happened, once Nunn wasn't scoring, and also I want to give credit to, because Nunn wasn't the only guy in this game that really torched Michigan State. Again, Kendrick Nunn, he was 9 of 19 from the floor. Folks, that's shooting really, really well. Really, really well. 5 of 12 from three-point land. He also got to the free throw line. He was 9 of 10 from the charity stripe. He had 32 points in 38 minutes. But also, got to give props to Martez Walker, who went 4 of 12 from the floor, 3 of 8 from three-point land. And there was also, three different occasions, three separate occasions in this matchup where the Michigan State defense somehow, some way, three times fouled OU players on three-point attempts. It led to three free throws, of course. I really couldn't believe that. But overall, I thought Michigan State played solid defensively with the exception of the one-on-one defense on Kendrick Nunn. And in that second half, we really saw the potential that the Spartans have shown throughout multiple times this season. Sky's the limit for this team, but you can't have, when you go against better competition throughout the year, you can't have Cassius Winston with a donut to start in the first half. You just can't. I wanted to see Cassius aggressive from the start and really finding that balance, which we've seen again multiple times this year, when he is able to find that balance between scoring and facilitating. Michigan State is pretty impossible to beat, because you mix that with, you know, Josh Langford really playing with so much confidence now, knocking down that mid-range jumper. He was probably the most consistent player from start to end in this game, offensively, for Michigan State. Then Jaren Jackson Jr. started to get it going. And that's the thing that Jaren really brings you, because you could see an obvious size differential in this matchup between Michigan State and Oakland. And when Michigan State had really no offensive options and no one to go to, We saw Jaren Jackson on multiple occasions boss up, not play like a freshman. He hasn't played like a freshman this season so far. Now, he's had moments with early foul trouble, as also, you know, that's been noted multiple times this year as well. But Jaren Jackson, you know, he would grab the basketball and say, all right, I'm about to make something happen. And he would, you know, back down his defender, go to the lane. We saw him hit down a big three-pointer. He had a really nice reverse lay-in for an and-one. It's fantastic watching him do his thing on the basketball court, because not only can he score in multiple ways, he's, you know, NBA scouts have to be salivating when they watch Jaren Jackson play, because he's long, he's got these long arms, he can take you inside, he can take you outside, and he's not afraid of big moments. Not afraid of big moments. I think he's shown that so far this season. But not only that offensively, but defensively, you know, when Michigan State, throughout multiple stretches of the game, started to give up easy buckets inside the lane, inside the paint, Jaren Jackson Jr. put an end to that. He's so good at positioning himself to contest shots in the paint or forcing his opponent, the guy he's guarding, to throw up some crap because they're worried about those long arms of the law. Jaren Jackson Jr., man, oh, man, he is a handful, folks. He finished with 10 key points for Michigan State in this game, had 7 rebounds, 4 blocks. Very impressive for him. But you know what also hurt Michigan State in this game? Not just the slow offensive production when it comes to multiple players, including, you know, I called out Cassius Winston for his slow start, but Miles Bridges didn't get it going until late in this game as well. Nick Wart was great from the start, kind of teetered off. You know, he was kind of a roller coaster when it comes to offensive production. But I love the energy that Nick is giving this team right now. But you can't have 17 turnovers. Some of those turnovers were so nonsensical. I did not understand it. In many ways, it reminded me so much of that Duke game, right? When Michigan State lost to Duke, what did Duke do? They went to that 2-3 zone, slowed Michigan State down, and then you started to see just overthinking from multiple players and way too many turnovers. I mean, heck, and think Cassius, you got to take care of the basketball. He knows this, and I'm pretty sure he's beating himself up about it. Has been. He's ready to get back at it tonight because he wants to show that, man, I can take care of the basketball. He had 6 of the 17 turnovers that Michigan State had against OU on Saturday. That is really what kept Oakland in this game. 17 turnovers, and OU constantly will capitalize on them. You know, steals that led to fast break layups, you know, from guys like Kendrick Nunn and Martez Walker. That can happen. But I want to hit this first break. When I come back, I want to ask a question, again, concerning Miles Bridges. Is Miles Bridges a bit lost in the sauce right now? I'll explain what that means and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. To WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We do have our live stream up and running now via Facebook.com/Current Sports. If you're just now joining us here on the show, we dedicated segment A to sort of breaking down the Michigan State and Oakland University men's basketball game at Little Caesars Arena on Saturday. Michigan State in a bit of a dogfight against the Golden Grizzlies, an 86-73 win. A win is a win nonetheless. And in just a moment, I'm going to, you know, sort of break down what I mean by Miles Bridges getting a bit lost in the sauce. But before I do that, I want to invite to the show our current sports engineer, Mr. Ian Hawley. Ian, how you doing, my friend? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you as well, sir. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Great, man. You heard my spiel when it comes to the Spartans In that win on Saturday against Oakland, a very gritty win for Michigan State. It was incredibly entertaining to watch. And before I talk about Miles Bridges here, I just want to get your thoughts and takeaways from this game. And ask you also, Ian, I mean, how do you think a game like that will help Michigan State grow?
Well, to be honest, I kind of saw this scoreline or this dogfight coming. If you look at the game from last year, both teams returned a lot of those same players. I mean, Oakland brought back all five of their starters. Mm-hmm. And that game, as you know, was a dogfight as well. It ended up being 77-65 Michigan State. A lot of that was due to it being in the Breslin Center. So a road game like this, kind of a rematch from last year, you knew it was going to be tough. But you talk about Winston with the turnovers. Maybe just, again, getting in that dogfight mentality, trying to do too much sometimes and making some poor decisions. But I think he has shown struggles with that at times and has been able to bounce back from that. So looking forward, I think he'll use this as motivation and be able to rebound really well in the next game. I look for him to be one of the big contributors in their next contest tonight.
Yeah, without a doubt. And that's the thing. I mean, Cassius, when I look at Cassius, I mean, Cassius just has to be aggressive from the jump. When he's aggressive, good things will happen. He just has to take those shots, right? Especially those three-pointers. I thought Michigan State, they had such of a an emphasis at the very beginning of the game of feeding it down low to Nick Ward, who, by the way, also, I mean, Nick Ward was great in that game. I mean, 15 points, 15 boards, one shy of a career high. They had such, you could see what the game plan was for Tom Izzo's team very early on. They were going to use their size to their advantage and exploit the size differential very early on. They fed it down to Nick Ward, and Nick Ward got it going early, but they just kept feeding them it, every single time down the court. They forgot, okay, maybe we should try opening it up a bit and maybe try shooting a few threes here and there. And I think that's what kind of led to the slow offensive start for Winston. But when he gets it going, he really gets it going. He just has to take those shots in.
Yeah, man, he's as good as anybody in the country. And I can see that translating at the next level for him very well. Maybe height will be a little bit of a disadvantage, but yeah. I mean, you look at people like Allen Iverson, it's been done before. So not too worried about Cassius Winston, and really not worried about this team in general. I mean, if you look at certain stretches over the game, I think it was like 13 minutes left in the first half until about 17 left in the second half. Michigan State had a solid lead that whole stretch of time. And then again, at the end of the game, over the last 5 minutes, they limited Oakland to 5 points. So they took care of business when they really needed to. I mean, they had struggles at times, but they found a way to get it done in the end. So not very worried about this game looking forward.
Yeah. Michigan State actually overall, Ian, shot 51% from the floor, 31 of 60, hit 39.1% of his three-pointers. They went 9 of 23 from the three-point land. And, I want to ask this question, though, because you look at Miles Bridges, and I can't help but think about this. You know, Miles, he ended last season as one of the highly touted players in all of college basketball, right? And if he came out, we've had this conversation multiple times, if he would have come out after his freshman year, he would have certainly been a top 10 pick.
I agree.
Coming back this year, what did you hear? Looking at the talent pool for college basketball, Miles Bridges could up that stock, maybe even be a top 5 player, right? Sky's the limit for him. But when you look at, Miles Bridges right now, looking at his overall production on Saturday, for instance, I mean, Miles had 11 points, 3 rebounds. Miles hasn't been, his numbers haven't been crazy. Right?
Yes.
They haven't really, when you look at the final stat sheet, that really turned your head. He's had some really quiet performances, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he's catering to a lot of his teammates and wanting to get them involved and not wanting to do too much, right? That's why I say I think Miles right now is a bit lost in the sauce because this team has so much talent, and Miles is so unselfish that – he knows he could probably go out there, get his game going, and make his stat line look very, very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at times he kind of defers to his teammates a bit too much. But with that being said, Ian, Miles right now is not one of the leading candidates to become a National Player of the Year. He just isn't. And I think a lot of that is circumstantial, more so than what we do know Miles can do on the basketball court. And that's been a big conversation now. And with that being said, do you think he's hurting his draft stock? Because I was reading a lot of publications over the weekend, and a lot of publications actually have Jaren Jackson ahead of Miles Bridges right now in the way too early NBA mock drafts for 2018.
Mm-hmm. See, I would say Bridges' numbers do not really reflect his style of play. I would
not
agree with you. He's trying to defer to his teammates. I think he's of the mentality that I'm not about to get mine. We're about to get ours. You know, like as long as the team is doing well, I think he's fine with where he's at. And not too many turnovers. I mean, he had four fouls, but he didn't come close to fouling out. You know what I mean? Like he wasn't playing overly aggressive or anything like that. It wasn't a bad mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Not worried about Bridges. I think he's just trying to find his flow and the rhythm of the offense because he knows that they can be better that way than having him trying to dominate a game necessarily. As far as Jackson being ranked ahead of Bridges, I could see that
as
well.
I think he's a more appealing prospect than Miles. I say that because the stretch forward is a player that is so highly in demand at the next level in the NBA right now. I mean, we're seeing multiple players. I mean, you know, that Kevin Durant type player, the Kristaps Porzingis type player, the Anthony Davis type player, that stretch forward who can knock down jumpers, who's long and lengthy, is a presence defensively. I mean, heck, Kevin Durant is among the league leaders right now when it comes to block shots at the next level. That kind of do-it-all forward who can also play that guard role and also do damage down low. That's why I think Jaren is such an appealing NBA draft prospect. But I just want to see Miles, because at times, again, I think he defers way too much. That's his mentality. He wants to make sure everybody gets involved. But I think in doing that, sometimes he forgets just how good he is.
It would almost be more interesting to see Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson on two different teams so you could evaluate them a little bit better.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. So, again, this will be a blowout. I think it's going to be I don't think this one's going to be close tonight. They play Houston Baptist tonight for a 6 p.m. Slate, Ian. I don't think it's going to be close at all. In just a moment, we're going to give away tickets to that matchup tonight. And, again, it's a doubleheader. After the Michigan State men's basketball team plays, you can catch the Michigan State women's basketball team on the hardwood as well. You get a chance to catch Susie Merchant squad as Quinnipiac also will play against the Spartans at 9 p.m. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hear our final break. When we come back, we will be chatting with our dear friend DeAndre Carter, motivational speaker, author, and diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Of course, we'll be talking about the Steelers and New England Patriots game from last night. How fun was that to watch, right? And we'll also look at the NFL as a whole and discuss the Detroit Lions' playoff chances. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have been chatting about the Michigan State men's basketball team as that was a really entertaining game between the Oakland University Grizzlies and the Michigan State Spartans on Saturday at Little Caesars Arena in the Hitachi Basketball Showcase. You know, a really close game. And, you know, you look at how this schedule is as panned out for Michigan State. I mean, this is how Tom Izzo likes it, though. I mean, he has that anywhere, anytime, any place mentality. And, you know, he has noted throughout this season how tough it's been so far to really get in practice time because you're only getting like a day rest. You have a lot of walkthroughs with just a day or two rest and not really much prep time in between games. And again, just look at it. I mean, they played Saturday. They have off Sunday, and then they're right back at it tonight against Houston Baptist. But what are your thoughts on Tom Izzo's team? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. In just a moment, we are going to be giving away a pair of tickets to check out tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game. But right now, I want to kind of shift gears and talk about the NFL. Or the Detroit Lions, they picked up a win over the Chicago Bears. And let's face it, the Bears are not a great football team. They are trying to find their way, and have been for a minute now. That was an easy win for the Detroit Lions. Matthew Stafford, a solid game for him. But you know, besides the win over the Bears, I mean, the bigger picture here is, as we now approach just 2 weeks left in the NFL regular season, what are the chances that the Lions will make the playoffs? Now, the chances became a bit slimmer over the weekend, evaluating how the Minnesota Vikings actually clinched the NFC North with a 34-7 win over the Cincinnati Bengals. That leaves the Lions with really only one path to the playoffs. Again, that's a wild card berth. But the odds of earning a wild card berth for the second straight season took a hit as the Carolina Panthers, you know, you look at that game as the Panthers beat the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers returned from a broken collarbone, which it's absolutely remarkable that Aaron Rodgers is even, you know, just out there running around with the football, let alone slinging it around the field after trying to come back from this collarbone injury where he has screws and plates. I just don't understand it. It's amazing to me. But the Panthers improved to 10-4 with the victory and also have a winnable game next week against the lowly Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, of course, the Bucs will play the Atlanta Falcons tonight. That has playoff implications for the Detroit Lions as well. But the Lions' best hope of reaching the postseason, you know, is to really finish strong. You know, and possible, you know, possibly for a multi-team tie at 10-6 on the year, where they would have the edge over a team like the Carolina Panthers and the Seattle Seahawks that endured a beatdown at the hands of the LA Rams yesterday. I mean, how shocking was that? Unbelievably shocking. The Rams, I believe that the Rams are a legit Super Bowl contender, folks. I mean, Todd Gurley really just was amazing in that win. I mean, Jared Goff didn't have to do much. When you have a running back tearing it up like the way Todd Gurley did yesterday, I mean, you don't have to do much as a quarterback. I mean, absolutely amazing what the Rams are doing. And then you have Aaron Donald just, you know, he may be the best defensive player in the league this year. I really like the L.A. Rams. And I think in a team like the L.A. Rams really coming on this season really puts in perspective what we love about the NFL. The parity word, parity, parity, parity. Any team can lose at any given week in the National Football League. That is what makes it very entertaining, without a doubt. And the Seahawks, again, they did their part in helping the Lions by losing to the L.A. Rams. So, you know, they now fall behind the Lions in the tiebreaker. So the Lions at 8-6 have to win these final two games this upcoming weekend against the Bengals and New Year's Eve against the Green Bay Packers, not to have any hope of really reaching the postseason. I'm curious to see what Green Bay does if Atlanta ends up winning tonight, because if they do, that will statistically eliminate the Green Bay Packers of a playoff contention. And then I would assume that Green Bay rest Aaron Rodgers, you know, in the final weeks here. That's what I would assume. You don't really need him to play. He's got a collarbone injury. Why would you risk that? You're playing for nothing at that point. So rest him, put in Brett Huntley, and just ride this thing out and get ready for next season, all right? So a lot of scenarios here. A lot of scenarios here. But right now I want to get to our dear friend, DeAndre Carter, who we haven't had on in quite some time. DC has been a contributor to Current Sports in the past. We used to have him on for Motivational Mondays. He's a dear friend of the show. He's a motivational speaker, author, and yes, a diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I wanted to have him on today because I wanted to get his reaction to that wild and wacky New England Patriots win over the Steelers last night. DC, first off, how you holding up after last night, man?
Al, man, I got to tell you, that was a tough one to swallow right there.
Wasn't it? I mean, you look at that game, and I got to be real, DC, and I stated this earlier on in the show. I mean, the Steelers, your Steelers, 90% of that game, they outplayed Bill Belichick's New England Patriots. Those final 5 minutes, though, and I didn't understand how Coach Tomlin, he played really conservative when they had the ball with about 6 minutes left to play. If you get two first downs there, you can probably milk the clock and really put a lot of pressure on the Pats. That didn't happen, though. I thought he played way too conservative. The Patriots get the ball back. You guys had no answer for Gronk. I mean, and then, of course, the whole, which I want to get your thoughts on, the whole complete the process, right, when it came to the Jesse Absolutely. James situation catch, right? But how do you evaluate that loss for the Steelers yesterday?
I look at it a couple different ways, Al. One, you got to know who you're dealing with. And what I mean by that is that the Patriots have definitely been our nemesis over the Tom Brady era. That is a definite thing. I mention that because we've been to the Super Bowl three times in the Ben Roethlisberger era, and each of those three times we have avoided having to beat New England. And so, you know, they say if you want to be the man, you got to beat the man, and we got to go ahead and beat them. And so last night I thought that we showed ourselves capable but still needing some improvement. Because even the drive you mentioned, that was the first time all night that the offense had went three and out.
Right.
So
for
that's
either
the
team,
last
yep.
time of the game, the worst point of the game that you want to do that. But on the flip side, when we needed a big play, here's Juju Schuster-Smith running down the sideline, getting us in the scoring position. And then you think you make the play with the Jesse James, but then you make the mistake. And so what New England does is they make fewer mistakes than everybody else. You know, Atlanta doesn't block the linebacker coming off the edge, and here comes the sack fumble in the Super Bowl. Seattle doesn't give it to Marshawn Lynch on the goal line, and here's New England winning the Super Bowl. And with us last night, you got Ben throwing the ball in the traffic on a play where he probably should have just thrown it away. And so the thing I take away is that New England makes fewer mistakes. And my hope, Al, is this. The 07 Giants played the Pats last game of the season. And when the Patriots were undefeated, and they lost by 3 points, but what they showed is they could compete with New England, and then a few weeks later, they upset them in the Super Bowl. My hope is that we grab a similar level of confidence that we can play with these guys, and that if we meet them in the AFC Championship game, we go ahead and handle our business.
The Jesse James play. If he's a running back on that play, DC, that's a touchdown. Just got to break
Absolutely.
The plane. Right. But he's a receiver. And, you know, it's so funny because you heard Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. They thought it was a touchdown. And then all of a sudden, like a few moments, you know, like a minute goes by. And they're like, hold on. You hear Tony say, oh, hold on. That ball moves at the end. The whole complete the process rule. I mean, it dates back to, you know, to bring it to a local fear here, you know, when it comes to Detroit Lions fans. I mean, that's the whole Calvin Johnson rule. Right. Do you think
Absolutely.
This rule should be changed? And will it be changed for that matter?
That's two different things. Should it be changed? I want to say yes. Will it be? I don't know, Al. I mean, so much debate about this. But going back to the Dez Bryant play, or even more infamously around here, the Calvin Johnson play, I remember watching football, and when I remember specifically a game where the Baltimore Ravens and the Steelers were playing. The rule was if you're a receiver, you put two hands on the ball and 2 feet on the ground at that moment. If you're in the end zone or if you cross the plane, that's a touchdown. The play is over. And Steeler fans will remember this. Even last year, Antonio Brown played the Ravens. He caught the ball on, like, the two, and three Ravens hit him, and then he extended the ball over the goal line, and they knocked it out of his hands, but it was considered a touchdown because they said he had transitioned from being a pass catcher to a runner.
Right.
And so what's difficult about that play last night is that it's clear to see that he had control of the ball. He pulled it in and then extended it. And so as a hopeful Steelers fan, you're hoping that that's a football move.
Exactly.
But in
right.
the eyes of the committee, they're saying he didn't complete the catch. It's very tricky, very confusing. And I got to admit, it was heartbreaking. But part of me still thought we could make the play. But when you're missing a big gun, because that play we ran at the end is usually Antonio Brown. When you take out Brown and put in Eli Rogers, mm-hmm. you get what we got.
Yeah, without a doubt, and, you know, having Antonio out, that's certainly going to going to hurt the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. But the mere fact that you guys were able to compete like you did yesterday against Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, I think it speaks dividends to just how good this team can be. And I think it, again, puts a stamp on them as a legit Super Bowl contending squad. DC, as we come to a close here, man, you know, again, we haven't had you on in quite some time. I just want you to kind of give our listeners an update on what you've been up to. And again, I know you got your book out there that you're still pubbing. I just want to give you the opportunity to kind of provide an update for us, man.
I appreciate that, Al. I'm really excited. I've been doing some speaking engagements across the state and in the region, inspiring people to demand greatness. I'm in the process right now of creating a new website with a web domain that will be released. I guarantee you'll love it. It's going to be amazing. And this is going to be a hub for people to go to get inspiration, spearheaded by me, but not only by me. It'll be more like I'm leading the movement of people inspiring each other to be their best. And so that's what I'm excited about. We have that in the works, have some top-notch people on the web design end. We have some innovative people on the content development end, and I've got some new stuff coming. You know, I'm always in the lab developing new content, new material, looking to give people a new perspective on how they can live their best life.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, it's always a pleasure getting a chance to tune in via Facebook from time to time as you give your audience just a bit of a taste of what you do just a little taste, right? A little sample to your audience when you, of course, you know, book your numerous speaking engagements. So, hey, DC, keep us updated on everything. I want to get you back on, and hopefully we can get you back here in studio. How's that sound?
That sounds perfect, Al. I appreciate it. And thank you for your support as always, and continue to spearhead your movement and do your work. And we look forward to seeing you on the big screen.
You got it, man. My man DeAndre Carter, motivational speaker, author, and diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan. All right, we have 30 seconds left. We'll remind you all, I will be at tonight's doubleheader, Michigan State men and women in action at the Breslin Center. We'll also have a few interesting giveaways on the show throughout this week. So tune in, same time, same place on tomorrow's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, reminding you to be easy, people.